reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping.
You're now dialed into the Voice of Tor podcast with your host, Luke Hay. The Voice of Tor podcast is brought to you by Westchester Mulch Company and FMF Rental.
Secretly stern as they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
To another episode of the Voice of Tor podcast. I'm your host, Luke Hay. And tonight we've got something special for everybody. We're going to be doing our typical Tour Tuesday or Tour Thursday episode, where we give you guys a breakdown of the upcoming race, where the track is, what to expect, what's going to be going on, the vendors that'll be there, what the actual course is going to be like for you, and all that other good stuff. And we have a special treat. I have a couple guys here on the phone. I'm doing a remote podcast again here, and so without further ado, I am going to give these guys a chance to hop on and do an introduction, and we're going to get right into this podcast. So to start us off, who's out there? Who's on the line?
How's it going, guys? My name is Ryder Siggity, and I'm on the Ampro Factory Support Off-Road Yamaha team, and
And tell us a little bit more about yourself, Ryder. You're on the Ampro team, and what are your accomplishments as a young rider, and why should we be talking to you right now? Tell us about yourself a little bit.
I've been racing Tor pretty much since the day I came out, and also I've been racing GNCC for the last 4 years, and I have 4 GNCC championships, so that's definitely my biggest accomplishment right there.
Right on, man. So you got some national championships under your belt. That's pretty sick. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that here once we get rolling on this podcast. Thanks for doing a little intro there, letting everybody know who they're listening to. And yeah, we are also joined by another young ripper. And who might that be? Who else is on the line?
It's Landon Wentz. And what's up, guys?
Landon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Last year I started racing Tor, and I wrapped up the B200 championship. And I think that year, too, I got the Super Mini Championship for D6. And as many as you probably know, I also live here at the WTF training facility, or known as the Eagle's Nest.
So those of you who don't know what he's talking about, we're talking about our next race. Our upcoming race this weekend is going to be at Landon's home track, literally his home track there, at the Wentz Training Facility. That's what the WTF stands for there, Wentz Training Facility. His old man Kane has turned their property into a rider's paradise and a dream, and we're very fortunate enough to have developed an awesome relationship with Kane and the entire Wentz family, and we got invited back up for our second year up there. And is that Pottsville? We calling that Pottsville, Landon? What's the exact town?
No, it's Pensbury.
Pensbury, thank you. I always get that mixed up.
Pensbury,
PA, just a little bit north of Philadelphia. Probably, maybe no more than 45 minutes to an hour's ride from the city of Philadelphia. So all of our Jersey riders, you guys have a little bit of a commute than you're used, more than used to the past couple rounds since we've been down in Elmer and Millville and all those other small South Jersey towns. So you guys are going to have to pack it up, cross the Delaware River, and come see us out here at the Wentz Training Facility. So I want to give you another chance there. Landon, did I cut you off too earlier, man, or did you want to say anything else about your riding and why, again, I've got you here on the pod, or are you pretty much ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, I'm pretty much good.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate you sharing a little bit about your background there, both of you guys telling us about your championships and, you're a little bit of a history here. You guys are, kind of making your transition to the big bikes. Real quick, I don't think I heard either one of you guys mention, how old are you guys?
I'm 16.
And yeah, Landon, how about you?
Yeah, 15 years old.
15 and 16, so... you guys probably hear this all the time, and I hate to rub it in on you, but you guys are still babies. You guys are kids, and you don't ride like it, but you've got a whole lot of life left to live. And just to, you know, name in those championships that you guys have already won and all those accomplishments that you guys have already had, you have already put yourselves, you know, on the map, so to speak. And people know who you guys are when you go to the races. They know to look for you guys, the faster kids, you know, the overall youth guy, or that, you know, that young rider who is making his transition into the B class, like you had mentioned there, you know, swinging your leg over a big bike. So that's where, you know, I'm going to kind of start this whole interview process with you guys. I guess we'll start off here with, we'll just go right to rider. Just, we'll do you first again here. So you said that you're on the Ampro Yamaha team, and I wanted to ask, what's it like what's the transition been? I know you're still riding a mini, but you're also getting some more time on the big bike now. It seems like you're really starting to favor that thing. What bike you riding now, and what's the transition been like for you?
I definitely didn't think that I'd like the 125 as much as I do, but I love riding it. It's like what I want to ride the majority of the time. And our team manager, Randy, he's really fine. He's like really calm with whatever we want to do. So I've just been kind of taking it fun this year. I'm really getting used to the 125 for next year, and also just using up any time I can to still ride the little bike.
Gotcha. So you think you're ready to make that the full-time commitment to riding the big bike?
Yeah, I definitely know I will next year, but I think I could now if I had to, yeah.
Gotcha. So for the remainder of the season here, you're going to be kind of double-dipping still? You're going to be riding the mini and then getting on the big bike?
Yeah, I think the mini will always be fun for me. Like, no matter how big I get, it's still really fun to ride like a little bike that's small and fast.
Yeah, that's another thing I want to bring up too. So you are only 16 years old, but how tall are you?
Like 5'6".
Oh, come on, you're taller than that.
I'm not.
I swear, I thought every time you're up on the podium with me, man, I feel like you're looking down at me. I'm a short guy myself, so I feel like, and I tell people I'm 5'9", but my license says 5'8". So if you're 5'6", man, I tell you what, you're probably closer to 5'8", 5'9" now. I swear you're growing like a weed.
Yeah, thank you.
So I know that only makes it a little harder to ride the mini bike, but the bigger you get, the easier it is to manhandle that thing, I'm sure. So especially after jumping off the 125, you know, doing some motos on that and then getting on the mini bike is like, man, it's got to be like, holy cow, I can do anything I want on this thing and not worry about a dang thing.
Yeah, it's definitely weird going from one to the other too, though. Just getting used to it the first lap is rough. But I feel like I could just throw the bike around each time I get on it.
Yeah, that's what I figured, man. I don't have the speed, never did have the speed that either one of you guys have. So, you know, I can only imagine what the transition is, you know, having all that power that, you know, you could basically ask for in the 125. I say that now, but in a couple years, you're going to be thinking the same thing about that as you do the mini bike. You're going to be thinking that it's got no power, and you're like, oh, it's fun to get on and throw around like it's nothing.
I know
those days are coming soon here. So now I'm going to flip that question over to Landon. Landon, same question, man. What bike are you riding now, and what's the transition been like for you going to the from the mini bike to the big bike?
I'm on a Gas 125 now, and also a KTM 250, which I race at the tours. But I feel like I outgrew the mini bikes last year and got on a big bike, and to be honest, I really like the big bike much, much better. I think it just fit me so much better.
Same question real quick. How tall are you?
I'm probably 5'10", 5'11".
Okay, yeah. So I feel like both of you guys, honestly, I feel like I'm the shorty around here. But, you know, you saying you're 5'11 makes me feel a whole lot better than Ryder saying he was only 5'6".
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're riding two different bikes. You're on a 125 and a 250F, I believe, there. And tell us, like, what was your choice behind that? Like, what are you guys thinking right there?
Well, I definitely like the 250 at the tours. It's super smooth, and there's always power there. But on the other hand, I really like the 125 a lot, just because it feels a lot lighter than the 250.
For sure.
And definitely throw it around a lot easier, a lot less weight.
So what will you be racing this weekend?
I'm thinking the 250.
Okay, very good. Sounds like that's your go-to for the tours. And, you know, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit more about that. Why do you prefer the 250F over the 125 for tour racing?
Well, definitely since the Tours are pretty fast tracks normally, I prefer the 250. It's got a little more slip than the 125.
There you go.
Yeah, just a lot more torque in general.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you guys are, you know, learning that stuff now as you go. You're getting off of those, you know, those mainly two-stroke mini bikes, and, you know, you're kind of getting your feet wet with the thumpers, and you're kind of see what, you know, what the fuss is all about with those things, as it seems like everybody wants to get on a 450 or a 350. Even the 250s are still popular for everybody, of course, but, you know, it's an interesting transition. You know, I remember when I was your guys' age, it was, you know, everybody had to have a four-stroke because it was like the dawn of a new era. You know, when I was 16, that might have been like 2007, maybe, I think, yeah, 2008, something like that. So, you know, the timing was like, you know, the modern era of four-strokes was really just starting. Like the, you know, they really weren't too popular. I think it was like 05, maybe, no, you call it maybe like 03, 04. I know Yamaha did the 426, and there were some other people getting their feet wet with the liquid-cooled four-strokes and really bringing them out to the races. But it wasn't really until like that early 2000s that people were really taking them seriously and realizing that it was kind of like the future of motorcycles and dirt bikes in general. But so I can put myself in your guys' shoes here, you know, getting off that 85 or the 105, and like the first time you get on a 250F, you're like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. But it's funny, you know, things come full circle now, and I see a lot of guys that are, you know, opting to go to the 125 two-stroke opposed to hopping on the 250F, and, you know, Ryder's a perfect example of it right there, you know, just to try to smooth that transition over. And, you know, some guys even prefer, you know, that some guys, you know, I guess in order to be competitive at some races, you have to get on the four stroke, but some guys prefer that two stroke and the 125 opposed to the 250F. And I'm a big proponent of it. I always try to tell people to get a 125, and all the pro guys, I'm always begging the pro guys to find a 125 to come out and do the pro 125 class. And I just think they're the best bike in the world. I'm in my garage right now doing this podcast. I'm staring at my 03 RM 125 right now. And, you know, to me, there's just nothing funner. You know, no matter how old you get, you can still throw your leg over that thing and have a great time, you know, and not have to worry about too much maintenance or having too much power. It's going to scare you or anything like that. It's got just enough power to have fun and not enough to get you too hurt. I shouldn't say too hurt because I threw myself off of it pretty bad last time I did a hair scramble on it. But with that said, we'll leave that my racing behind me and we'll focus on you guys. So I appreciate you guys both sharing about that. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people don't know what it's like, you know, when you like, I consider you two guys, you know, the top youth guys, and, you know, people don't really know, you know, why you guys make the decisions that you do as far as like bike setup or what bike you're riding, two stroke, four stroke. So there's a lot of moto parents out there and younger kids, you know, even younger than you guys, who are looking up to you, you know, those 10, 12, 13 year olds, you know, they look up to you guys. So It's great for you guys to share your experiences and, you know, share what you're thinking and feeling so that, you know, it's not so much one way for, you know, the younger guys, you know, because everybody thinks that there's a secret to it or there's only one way to win. And you guys both know that there isn't, you know, it's whatever works best for you. It's how you set it up. It's, you know, it's more than just one thing that you guys are doing. So I'm going to move on here. I want to talk to you guys a little bit, you know, more focused on tour itself and what you guys think of it rather than just, you know, your overall experiences racing and riding and everything. Let's keep this tour focused. So with that said, I'll let either one of you guys jump in here and answer this question first. What do you guys think the atmosphere is like, you know, when you're at a Temple off-road racing event? I know you've been all around the country racing GNCCs, and other local series and everything. You guys have both pretty much seen, I don't want to say seen it all yet because you're still very young, but you've seen a lot in your young careers and you've experienced a lot. So what's it like when you guys come out to a Temple off-road and not necessarily on the track, but you can share that as well, but like what's the overall feeling? What's the vibe like when you guys are you know, showing up to the race?
I think with the tours rather than any other series, I think it's definitely a lot more organized and professional, to say, than most of the other series out there. It's like, seems like everyone runs pretty smooth at the tours. Yeah, yeah. All the fans are happy.
Sorry. Also, right. Like, on Saturday coming up to the race, there's just a lot to do at the tours. Like, I know at Didi or Landon's house at the next tour this weekend. They're going to have a pit bike race, a diva race. Like, there's a bunch of just fun activities, and it seems like welcoming. There's always music playing. And like Dini says, everything's run pretty organized and smoothly. So it's just like a good place to be, and everything. You could see everything from like a real central area too, which is cool.
Yeah, good point. I'm glad you mentioned that too. Yeah, it's like, you know, from that central point, you know, whether you're at the extreme section or you're at the finish line, like we try to do our best to set it up for everybody where it's like, you know, you don't have to walk too far, or you can kind of, you know, face one way and then turn around, do a 180 and then face the other way, and you're not going to really miss any racing action. If anything, it's going to get better with your views as you turn to the left or to the right. You're going to be able to see as much as we can possibly give you guys in that small window. And then, yeah, we have all those awesome, fun things that we do on Saturdays and even on, you know, Friday night, you know, people showing up. I know some folks make it a weekend, and we encourage that. You know, we want you to come early and stay late. As some folks know, our pro podiums, you know, they are kind of going off at sunset on Sunday. You know, they're kind of the last of the last guys. But for anyone who hangs out to watch that final podium, it's a real treat because you get to hear all the pro guys, you know, talking about their experience and what they thought about the track and, you know, all that stuff that we as fans, you know, I'm a fan too. You know, I eat that stuff up. You know, I'm the guy doing the interviews, but I also – you know, I sit there and I try to take it all in when I hear you guys talk. Even the youth guys, I love listening to, you know, whatever you guys are giving us because I'm a fan. And I think that if you're a fan of our sport, and particularly if you're a tour fan, you know, those pro podiums are something that if you have the time, you're going to want to hang out for on Sunday afternoon. And I'm sure you guys are going to be up on that pro podium real soon. You're not there yet, but I still have time for you guys during your B overalls and all that stuff and your youth awards for at least for riders still. I know, Landon, you're not going to be riding any more youth races. At least I don't think. Do you think we'll see you out doing any more youth races or no?
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with that.
Yeah. I don't blame you, man. Yeah, moving on to bigger and better things now. Yep. So, yeah, I love to hear that. You guys are having a good vibe. And, you know, even it's good to hear it from a different perspective because I'm 30. You know, I'm almost twice your guys' age. And, you know, I think it's awesome. I think it's fun. But, you know, I'm also looking at it from a different perspective. And it's great to hear that, you know, you guys are enjoying it as well and you think it's fun. You know, you have all that extra stuff going on. We try to make it more. Obviously, we're there to race, but we try to provide you guys with more than just that. And we want to give you that professional feeling. I always like to say it's national vibes at a local level. That's like the go-to tagline. I always try to sell that for people because unless you've been to a Temple off-road, you don't really know what I'm talking about. But like if you've been to any of these pro motocrosses or a GNCC or anything like that, and you see the big banners, you see all the big rigs and all this, that, the third, like we're trying to replicate that stuff, but on a smaller scale at the local level. So I appreciate you guys giving us some compliments on the professional stuff. That's another thing I love to joke about is whenever things start to go a little sideways at the race or we have a little bit of a hiccup, I like to remind everybody that this is only our first year doing this whole thing. We all have experience, you know, somewhat here and there in promoting races and working at the races or just in general being at the races. But as a whole, the Temple Off-Road team is comprised of just a bunch of volunteers and people that have grown up with Tegan and the Temple family, and we're just doing the best we can. So we definitely love to hear all the good stuff and the bad too, because that helps us make it better. But when we hear people saying that we're doing a good job, it makes us feel all warm and fuzzy. So and do you guys have anything to add on to that, or should I move on to my next question?
Oh yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with all of that, especially with the professional level. That's definitely true. I mean, it feels like you're almost at like a national race when you come to the tour.
That's the goal, man. So we're going to keep pushing for that for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So on the topic of tracks, I know we're going to be at your place this weekend, Landon. So you might be a little biased with this next question, but what has been your guys' favorite course since our, you know, we did the Triple Crown last year and then the handful of races we had this year? What have you guys, could you pick what your favorite one was?
I'd say that my favorite course so far has been Landon's house last year, just because the motocross track was like it was really, I don't know, I love his motocross track from when I was there last time. It was really, all the jumps were nice and small, but it was flowy. And the woods had a lot of rocks, and I'm up from the rocks too. So it like just reminded me of home, and I did pretty good there, I thought. So it was also my first tour, so that's also like a special part.
Yeah, it'll be a nice memory for you to hold on to in 30 years when you're bringing your kid out. You can say, you know, when you're at Landon's house again in 30 years, you can say, hey, buddy, this is where I did my first tour.
Yeah, definitely.
How about you, Landon? Which one's your favorite?
I mean, of course, I love the one at house, but besides that one, I would say probably the first one this year in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I was all there. That was super fun, super flowy track and everything.
Yeah, I had a lot of people saying that. Yeah, they really liked that. That was, for a lot of people, that was their first tour, and they weren't ready for the speed, man. I'll tell you that much. They weren't ready for what was coming their way, and it seemed like everybody started that first moto. Everyone was, you know, first race of the year, first moto of the year, and everybody was chomping at the bit. And then I think moto two at that race, everybody kind of reeled it in a little bit and slowed it down. I think they kind of realized what they were up against with these 30-minute GPs.
It definitely gets gnarly towards the end, which
for
is
sure.
And it makes it better, harder, I guess.
All right. So, looking at my list of things here. All right. So, we just talked about your guys' favorite courses and kind of why you liked them and everything. And, you kind of shared about, the atmosphere and what it's like being at a tour. But if you guys had to pick, like, what is your favorite thing? It could be the format, or it could be, you know, the pit bike racing on Saturdays, or what's your favorite thing about tour?
I like the 30-minute races, like the 30-minute two split-up races, the best, that format, just because if it's like a two-hour race and I'm not in a battle with somebody, it's really hard for me to just stay mentally focused
right. And
push the whole time. But in a 30-minute race, you're usually in a battle the whole time. And if you're not, it's not hard to, like, mentally prepare yourself to focus the whole time. And it just makes you a faster rider, I think.
I agree. How about you, Landon? What do you love most about tour?
Yeah, I definitely agree with rider. The format is probably my favorite thing. And I also like the track. Like, it's amazing when it starts in the first moto. And, like, the second moto, it's like a whole new track and, like whole different terrain and everything, like stuff comes up.
Yeah, different lines, everything's a little bit different.
Yeah, and it's super, super fun, like coming off the section, with, like a bunch of lines and having you to like pick through the lines. It's really cool. Definitely makes you a more like aware and a better rider in general.
Perfect, I'm glad you guys shared that about, you know, kind of making you guys better riders and making you focus a little bit more, and just that all translates to speed, so.
Yeah.
That's what I want to. You know, share for the general public about you, like, you guys are almost, you know, you're junior pros. I'm gonna call you that now. You're junior pros. So when parents and the young guys hear, you know, what is making you guys better, it reflects good for the whole series and just GP racing in general, because we believe it in our hearts. We all know, like, the tour staff and everybody that's putting on the race, like, we wholeheartedly believe that this is the future of off-road racing and the best and most, like, easiest way to make you a better rider. I'll put it to you that way. Like, you're going to get faster, you're going to get more experience, and the competition is fun. You're out there banging bars with your friends. You see the people in your class and the people you're battling with, and it's like you don't really get that with every style of racing. So, you know, in our minds, we think it's the best.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, there's always a battle no matter what out there. I mean, you're always fighting for it out there, which is definitely the funnest part.
Yeah, I love to hear that. So that's you guys kind of like your favorite parts about tour. And what would you guys tell somebody who has never been out for a GP race or has never been to Temple Off-Road? Like, what's your best piece of advice that you could give somebody?
I'd say that, especially for their first, if it's their first race ever, just go out there and have fun. And also, if it's your first tour ever, go out. I remember my first race. Well, I don't remember, but my dad always reminds me that at my first race, I just pulled over and cried halfway through it. And I'm not saying do that at tour, But it really doesn't matter how your first race goes. It should all just be about having fun and learning the format. And hopefully it goes, and it will probably go good from there, and you just keep doing it more and more.
I appreciate you being so candid. I mentioned that last time I had you up on the podium, and I was asking you what it was like to ride with the big bikes, and you're like, you said, I got to be honest, it was a little scary out there. So that just, you know, it shows that you're human. You know, again, I tell you, you know, you guys are the junior pros, so when all the other little kids see you going the fastest person on the track and everything, they kind of think like you're a superhero, or, you know, like, hey, you're human too, man, and you have those emotions, and it's okay to just to go through it sometimes. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because that's something big, and not many people are humble enough to talk about that stuff and just be open and honest. So thank you for being always honest with me, Ryder. And like I said, man, that's only going to prove to be a very strong asset for you as you mature and you grow up. So right on, man. And let's go on to Landon now. What would you tell somebody who has never raced a 30-minute GP or has never been to Tour? What's your best piece of advice?
Yeah, I mean, if they never race anything really besides other ones, go check out a Tour. I mean, just go for it, have fun. And once you're at the Tour, always make sure to check the schedule on race day, just so you know what time, because the most people, I feel like that's probably the most confusing thing. But like, I mean, I already know like now when I go every time. So yeah, basically go out, have fun, then like check the schedule so you know when you race. And then also it's like people that go there, like if you're like at a race, at a Tour, like just talk to people, try to make friends. It's
perfect advice.
I mean, friends are the best thing ever when it comes to racing.
Hell yeah, especially when you need a tire, you need someone to help work on your bike for you, or even just when you're there just chatting it up. You know, I mean, I can't imagine not having a group of friends to come back to the trailer with, or back to the pit, and to just talk about what just happened on the track. Like, even if it's just the guy right next door to you, park next to you, and you're strangers, just ask him, man, like, hey, what'd you think about the race? Like, I've said this before on the pod, you know, we want to promote inclusivity. You know, we're not that type of series or that type of event where like you show up and it's all, you know, turning your back to the person next to you and, you know, kind of being standoffish. Like, that's not the vibe we're trying to promote. We want everybody to get along. We want everybody to be friends and just ask questions. If you're not familiar, come up to any one of us, the Tour staff, or come up to the, you know, the registration trailer, whatever. Like, just ask questions. It's totally fine. But I know how intimidating it can be when you're at a race and you see all these pro guys or these big racers, these fast guys, and this is your first time ever being at a race. Like, it can be a little overwhelming. So I appreciate both of you guys giving that little bit of advice right there, because coming from a couple of youngsters, it says a lot about your guys' character and the direction that we're trying to take the series, because you guys are the future of it. So having a couple of good ambassadors for our sport and our series like you, I know it's going to go a long way. So keep that attitude and that kind of mentality, you know, as you guys grow and mature, because it'll pay dividends for you to have that kind of mentality. So I appreciate you guys answering that question so truthfully and honestly. That was very good. So
thank you.
Now we're just getting down into some more of these fun questions and everything here. And since we're keeping it Tour specific, what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you at a Tour race? Not your racing career as a whole, but like, what's the gnarliest thing you ever saw or happened to you specifically at one of these Tour races?
One of the craziest things for me probably was getting stuck in the Enduro Extreme section. It's always like fun trying to work my way out of it, but at the first Tour this year, I forget if it was the first Tour or the second Tour, I was coming in the Extreme section and I screwed up on a log, and it was just like so chaotic with everybody going by me. And like 250, they're like people getting stuck right next to me, and I'm trying to turn my bike around at the same time. Obviously, there's the go around, so if you didn't want to do that, it was fine. Right. But in the moment, that was definitely crazy.
Yeah, and that was one of your first times on the big bike, right? At a Tour?
Yeah, I think it might have been my first time on a big bike at the Tour.
Yeah, so a little chaotic. You got some older gents there maybe hollering some expletives at you or revving their bike, telling you to get the heck out of the way and everything. I can only imagine what that was like for you, being stuck right there in the middle of the hard section.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And how about you, Landon? What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you at a Tour?
Probably the craziest thing that ever happened or that was here was at the tour last year here at the Eagles Nest is when Craig DeLong showed up.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy. I was never expect that. The points leader for, fastest in the world pretty much on the XC world, it shows up to your house and starts ripping.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that had to have been pretty cool. Even on another level for you, man, because of course all of us as fans and tour staff, you see Craig DeLong show up, who went on to win the championship for the GNCCs last year, showing up to at the lowly little tour race at the Eagles Nest GP, and dude, that was your house. So I can only imagine, man. You're like, holy crap, this guy is here right now, riding the track that I ride every day. I'm sure you were trying to, keep an eye on him, see what kind of lines he was picking and stuff, so you could go out there and practice them later on. But, man, that's awesome. Yeah, I never thought about that, to what it was like probably from your eyes and even your pop's eyes and your whole family, because, I know you guys are fans. You're in this sport because you love it. So when the number one guy shows up at your house in your driveway, that's got to be a surreal feeling.
Yeah, it was definitely a compliment to have him here, and it was kind of like an honor just to have him here.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, very, very well put. What do you guys like to do when you're not at a tour race? You're not on, you're not practicing, you're not ripping your dirt bike. What do you guys like to do in your, free time, your spare time? I know you're probably doing bike work or, you're mountain biking, but off the bike and aside from racing, what else do you guys like to do?
I'm not the best at it, but I like to go to the gym with kids from the races and a lot of kids from my school too. It's just a good place to hang out and awesome to, it's fun to work out too.
Yeah, pushing yourself in a little bit of a different way, and also it's going to help when it is time to throw your leg over the motorcycle.
Yeah.
How about you, Landon? What do you like to do?
I hit the gym a little bit. Not too hard though, but... I go fishing sometimes and just help out around the house. And obviously school takes up most of the day.
So what are your responsibilities like around the training facility, helping Dad out? I know he loves the cane, your old man. He loves to hop in the loader, the Mini X, and go cut trail, build jumps, all that fun stuff. But what are your responsibilities around the track and everything to make sure that the business side of things keep going?
Yeah, I was just out there today in the skid steer redoing all the jumps, so kind of always busy out there, and it's definitely always something to do with it.
Yeah.
And mowing's a big thing. I mow every week the big fields. That definitely takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, it's not just riding every day for you. I know you got a lot of maintenance and a lot of things to take care of out there to keep, keep the show on the road at the Wentz training facility, so... Yeah, everybody give a shout-out to Landon when you're parking your camper and you have a freshly mowed spot. You know who did it. All right, so we're kind of coming down here towards the end of this interview with you guys. I have a couple other questions here we're going to wrap up with, but not quite yet. So I wanted to ask, what's the best way for anybody to get a hold of you guys? If anyone wanted, listen to this, wanted to ask you a question or talk to you about bike setup or anything like that, which social media do you guys like? And are you responsive with, comments or people that DM you? How often does that stuff happen?
For me, on my YouTube channel, just Rider Siggity, I definitely respond to all the comments there. Every single one, I make sure to respond to, and probably just Instagram would be the best way. Also, if you wanted to have a conversation, to reach out to me on, and I'm on a couple other platforms, but it's probably harder to get in touch there.
Cool. Yeah, so your YouTube, haven't really chatted much about that, but I'll give you a quick plug on that. If you guys have not seen any of Ryder's videos on YouTube, you guys are missing out. Him and his pop Mike get on the microphone, and they break down all of the helmet cam and kind of little vlog stuff that Ryder does throughout the weekend and while they're at the race. And they're really awesome videos. I fanboy out over all the vlogs and all the YouTube stuff. Anytime I see a tour video posted, I immediately watch it, and I'm always just sitting here like I am right now in my shop, just looking at my TV, and I'll just click on the videos just to get those bumps up. You know, I want to get more views, get those views up, so get that thing in everybody's algorithm. So I keep just like anytime I see something new or even one that I've already watched, I'll put it back on again, just hopefully that I get another view, another click or whatever, trying to keep those subscribers and all that stuff up. But so yeah, again, if you guys haven't checked out Riders YouTube, you guys are definitely missing out. Chock full of good information and just overall fun. Like, they're just fun to watch because you're there. You don't just have your helmet cam over there, you know, on the track, but like you see all the fans, you see people's reactions. Like, it's good stuff. And I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time. I know it's not easy, and I know it's not, you know, it takes a lot of time. I know, I mean, I just do this podcast, and I know how long it takes me to edit it and clean it up and put it on. So doing the whole video editing and stuff and taking the time to sit there and watch the video and commentate, I know that's tough, and I appreciate you guys, and I know I'm not the only one. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. It definitely does take a lot of time. I mean, halfway through the day, I'm already uploading the videos on the laptop.
There you
that
go.
That way I could work on them on the way home. And then with school and everything, we're just trying to get them out as fast as possible. But it's like a lot. It's a lot. But thank you.
Yeah, man. And how about you, Landon? What do you? I know you're a big TikTok guy, right? You're always doing the TikTok dances. I've seen a ton of those videos of you dancing and everything. But other than TikTok, what else are you on?
Yeah, I mean, people aren't supposed to really know about that one.
Oh, my bad. I let the cat out of the bag. Sorry.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing is on Instagram, just my name. Then also WTF, the training facility.
For sure.
Where you can contact us if you want to come ride or get some training, definitely hit that one up.
Cool. Yeah, I almost forgot to plug that one too. Yeah, again. So Landon has his, obviously his personal pages, his personal socials, but then the WTF training facility has all of their own socials. And again, if you guys are looking to ride or train or whatever, make sure you're following them for the latest updates and everything on when the ride days are and all that good stuff. And I also want to plug the training camp that you guys have going on. Can you tell us a little bit about that real quick? What's going on for like the whole GP training camp?
Yeah, so that one's on August 10th. It's with Frenchie or Greg Paramount and Tegan, if everyone knows that Mr. Tour. Then it's basically a motor training, woods training. Then they're going to do some stuff on the extreme section or the hard enduro.
Cool.
Just for the weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, just straight training.
Yeah, right on. You got to give everybody the rundown. So everyone who's not familiar with what the GP format is and what doing 30-minute motos is like and the intensity and all that stuff. So again, if you guys are thinking about coming out to race a tour but you're still not totally sure about it, or even if you've already raced a bunch of them and you're really just looking to get a, you know, get your I don't want to even say your fitness, but like getting your race plan and your racecraft dialed in for that 30-minute moto, and you know, what you're going to be doing on the bike in between, or how to just treat your body and all that stuff, there's a science to this stuff, guys. It's just like all the other stuff, you know, that you've been training for your whole life. It's you got to come up with a plan and execute. But the easiest way to come up with a plan, first of all, is practice. So get some good practice in at the best spot possible, and that is the WTF training facility, Wentz Training Facility. And again, thank you to you and your dad, Kane, for you know, coming up with that and offering that out to everybody, because I think that's going to pay dividends for the racers and the people who aren't familiar with this whole thing.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely helps a lot. I mean, more than I could ever imagine. Like, when I first started training with Frenchie and them, he had me like out in the field, like standing on my seat doing one-hand drills, and I did that pretty consistently, and the results were crazy. Like, these little things that you don't think about, it really helps a lot.
I'm glad you shared that. Yeah, that's because people are probably wondering, like, what, you know, what are they getting into if they signed up for that? So you just heard it right there. You're going to be drilled on figure eight and turn tracks and riding the bike with one hand. And I can only imagine what else Frenchie has planned up for you guys. And Tegan, trust me, I did a couple of his crash courses growing up with him. And when I say crash course, I mean getting barked at by him and Todd and telling us how we were doing everything wrong and how to go faster. So they will definitely whip you guys into shape and make you some better riders. So, man, you know what? As I'm talking about it, I might sign up for that myself.
There you go. Hope to see you.
Yeah, I'll be out there. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe I could give some lessons too. I'll have everybody up on the podium, and I'll start giving lessons on how to do a proper podium interview.
Hey, yeah, sounds like a plan.
Perfect. Yeah, because you guys will teach them how to win races, and I'll tell them how to talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. So as we move forward to the end here, what are your guys' racing goals? You know, it could be for this year, it could be for your career in general, for the future. What do you guys want to accomplish?
As for me, what I want to accomplish is just taking racing as far as I can, while still focusing on like getting a good education and keeping it fun too. I feel like that's the most important thing, is just keeping racing fun, no matter how good you're trying to get. If it's not fun, it's just a job. But I don't know. That's just for me. But some people might have a different opinion.
Dude, thanks for mentioning that. That's not the first time I've heard you mention that, using the F word. I bring it up all the time when someone says it. You drop the F word a bunch right there, and that's fun. And if it's not fun, then why the heck are you doing it? And to hear you say that, man, hopefully that message resonates with a lot of the younger guys and even the pro guys, because, you know, or the older guys, I should say, because, you know, hearing it come out of a 16-year-old's mouth, it kind of goes a little bit farther than hearing, you know, some 30-year-old guy say, oh, you got to have fun, or, you know, the old man keeps telling the kid, got to have fun. So hearing it from you guys, because it could be very easy the other way for you guys to only say that I need to win. Winning is the only thing that matters. I don't give a dang what happens if I don't win. But that's really not what you guys are out there for at the end of the day. Sure it is. Sure you want to win. But, like, if you're not having fun, then you're never going to win. And, you know, you have to have one before the other.
Definitely, yep.
And what about you, Landon, man? What are you trying to accomplish in your career?
Yeah, I mean, every time I get out there and ride, I definitely try to improve at least one thing, and I'm trying to build it up. I'm hoping to stay on 125s for a little bit, and hopefully make it up to XC3 and all those pro lines. So, and every time I ride, I feel like the biggest thing is when people ride, they just ride, like, just to ride. But, you know, every time I get out there and ride, I always have fun, and I always try to improve, which I feel like is the biggest thing with racing, trying to improve and ride with a purpose.
I like that. Yeah, ride with a purpose, man. That's you sound like me when I'm driving home from work at the end of the day. I'm like, why won't these people drive with a purpose? Get out of the way. So, yeah, similar thing, man. You can't just be out there riding your dirt bike aimlessly, man. Just, you're never going to get better. You got to have a little bit of purpose, you know, try to get better at one little thing every time, whether it's just a turn or it's a jump or it's, you know, getting over that root or that log a little bit better. Like, just try to focus on being 1% better every time you're on the bike. You know, it's not all going to happen at once. You're not going to, you know, practice every day and all of a sudden be at that pro speed. It's going to take some time, and you have to have, you know, be realistic with your goals and take it one ride at a time.
Yep, 100% with that one.
Yeah, you guys are really crushing this, honestly. You got some great answers to my questions, and I think people are really going to enjoy hearing this stuff from you guys, because, again, I'm not throwing shade here, but, you know, you guys are my youngest interview so far on the podcast, and, you know, it can be very easy for the younger guys to have those, you know, be a little bit shy, you know, not come out of your bubble and give me those one-word answers like yes, no, I want to win, I like to have fun, small things like that. So I really appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time to be a little bit more thoughtful with your answers and everything. And, again, it shows what kind of heads that you guys have on your shoulders, and says a lot about the parenting, you know, at home. Again, not to sound like I'm throwing shade, but you guys have got some good parents, mom and dad and everybody taking care of you guys and raising you right. And it's clear because you guys have some pretty good heads on your shoulders.
I appreciate that.
Yes, and I appreciate you guys having us on here. It means a lot.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Man. You guys are, like I said, you're the junior pros, man. I want to hear from you guys, too. We can't just be talking to these old heads all the time, because you guys are the future. I plan on talking to you guys for a very long time. You know, this is, you know, my first go around with this whole media thing and being the MC and the host of all this stuff. So I love it, and, you know, building these relationships with you guys now. You know, I look forward to having these conversations again in 30 years, kind of like I mentioned there earlier. You know, when you guys are having kids and everything, you know, I want, you know, it wouldn't it be something if, you know, I'm still doing podium interviews and you guys have your child up there, your son or your daughter, and I'm doing their first podium interview, and here I'm doing, you know, your guys' first podcast, your first interview, stuff like that. It's not too far-fetched to believe that it could happen, man. It really could. And, you know, but it wouldn't be possible without – you guys taking the time and coming on here and building these relationships and being committed to tour and everything. Because, like I said, man, we're here to stay, and I want to be doing this for a really long time. So I appreciate you guys taking the time and, again, you know, having those thoughtful answers to my questions and just being real with me, you know, because it's easy for people to see when somebody's being fake or when they're trying too hard. And, man, the vibe that I'm getting from you guys right now on this podcast is just down to earth. And, you know, you guys are naturals, so I don't want you to think too hard about this. You know, you guys did a great job, and I appreciate you.
100%. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
So before I wrap up everything here, I'm going to do two things. I do this at the end of every podcast with my rapid-fire questions, and I did curtail them to make it a little bit more PG-13. Hang up now. I appreciate you. Like, I was just patting you guys, patting your backs there for giving me such an awesome interview and acting like seasoned vets and professionals there. You guys did an awesome job, so thank you for that. And now I'm going to turn it on to you guys. Who do you want to thank for, you know, your racing career, you know, helping you get to the races, who builds the bike, you know, all those goofy questions that I ask everybody on the podium. Who do you guys want to thank?
I think I speak for Landon and I when I say I want to thank Tegan and you, Luke, and the whole tour crew, because the events have all been awesome so far. And me personally, I'd also like to thank Yamaha, Moose, Recluse, Wheelworks, and Kenda. There's a bunch more, but I don't want to say all of them, just those for now.
Cool, right on. And Landon, how about you, man?
Yeah, 100% stand by what Roger said in the beginning. And I would also like to thank GPMX, Crossroads Power Sports, and Real Bad Motorsports.
Right on. You guys have to have a team like that to be showing up and being competitive, putting those bikes on the box week in and week out. So shout out to all those guys. And again, shout out to your parents. That's who I'm going to thank for raising a couple of good young men and being willing to come on to the podcast and kind of be vulnerable a little bit, you know, and share a little bit about yourselves and all that good stuff. So I know it's not easy at a young age like that. So thanks again, guys, for all that stuff.
Yep.
And now I'm going to wrap this up. I always do this with all my interviews. I like to try and just, you know, do some like rapid fire stuff. You know, we learned a lot about you. You answered a lot of questions, but these ones are just kind of some more goofy, some fun stuff. And, like I said, I'm going to try to keep it PG-13 here and, do the rapid fire stuff. So, first question up, let's just keep it in this area. How about we'll go Landon, you answer these questions first, and then Ryder, you go second. So just, try not to think too hard. Just, answer them as fast as you can. So, first question up for Landon, motocross or woods?
Woods.
Ryder?
Oh, sorry. Me too. Yeah, woods.
Woods, okay. And Landon, next question. Favorite pro rider?
Definitely Craig DeLong.
Whoa, the local PA guy. I love it. You don't hear any people. They're always, you know, guys are always going for the supercross riders or the big, big name guys. But got to throw some love out there to Craig, our buddy Craig. PA strong, baby. Love to hear it. And how about you, Ryder?
Probably Ryan Sipes for doing it all.
Sipes, yeah, man, another great and creative answer. Yeah, guys, there's not a whole lot of guys like kind of like Josh Toth is on his little mini Sipes run right now, you know, kind of doing a little bit of everything. Yeah, that's, I wish there were more guys capable of that kind of thing, but it takes a special breed to try and, you know, go and accomplish or go out and compete and be competitive in such a variety of different, you know, racing in, or different series and different types of racing, I guess, is the best way to put that. So, yeah, that's something to strive towards for sure. Great answer, man. All right, next up, Landon, favorite ice cream flavor?
Probably mint chocolate chip.
Ugh, disgusting.
What?
Dude, what? I just got done complimenting your parents on raising you, and then you come up with that kind of answer?
Maybe like cookie dough.
Okay, yeah, much better. Cookie dough, yeah. I can get down with.
Yeah.
All right, and Ryder, how about you?
I'm plain. I like vanilla.
Oh, dude, me too. Yeah, man after my own heart. I'm a vanilla guy and cookies and cream. So I get down with both your answers there. I'm giving Landon cookie dough because I can't write them all for the mint chocolate chip thing. But, dude, definitely noted. I think you might be some kind of like psychopath or something. I don't know. Now I got to keep my eye on you at the races. I never know what you're going to do if you're eating mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yeah, well.
All right, next question. Two-stroke or four-stroke? Landon.
Two-stroke.
All right. Rider?
Definitely a two-stroke guy here, too.
Right on. I need guys like you to keep those things alive because you are the next generation, and we can only do so much. My buddies, my age, we're going to be riding them, but these kids that are interested in these electric bikes, yuck. And those four-strokes, man, I tell you what, trying to do away with those, man. It's a two-stroke revolution at Temple Off-Road. So bring those two-strokes out, in particular those 125s. We've got a special place for them. All right, and our last question here. This was a fun one. We kind of joked about it a little bit earlier, but what's your guys' favorite TikTok dance, and where are the videos? I know they're out there.
Well, I know there's some weird ones at Rider Siggity on TikTok. Definitely probably some weird ones out there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Dini's always telling me that I'm not, like, invited to a house if I don't do them, so...
Oh, so that's the catch. If you're going to hang out with the Wentz fan, you got to be out there, you know, in the garage recording those TikToks.
Yeah.
Like that.
Totally understand. I mean, you guys have the perfect haircuts. I mean, I know you guys are big TikTokers. If the haircut, the broccoli top, wasn't a dead giveaway, I mean, you guys have the same barber, I guess, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, this was a question that I wasn't going to ask, but I have to now since we're on the topic. The people want to know, are you guys getting perms?
I'm not. I don't know about any.
No, my hair is only a little curly.
Oh, okay. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I know Ryan is like full curl. So.
Yeah.
All right. That's too funny. See, I don't know. I might have, that one might have gone over your heads there. The perm, that's your parents are familiar with that. That's an 80s term. Not too many people getting perms anymore, but it seems like you youngsters are into it anyway. Moving right along now, I'm going to wrap this whole thing up. Guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time out of your night. It's a busy school night. I know we're not in the summertime yet. You guys are probably waking up tomorrow and heading into, what are you guys, both freshmen?
Yeah.
Freshman and a sophomore. Okay, yeah. So you guys are wrapping up those formative years of high school. You guys will be seniors pretty soon, and then you'll be stepping into the pro ranks on the dirt bike racing side of things, man, and I can't wait to see it. I'm here for it, and I know that everybody at Temple Off-Road is. You guys have more than a couple eyes on you at every race, and keep making us proud because, man, you guys are great ambassadors for our sport and for our series, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for you guys. Before I close this one out, any last things you want to say?
I would just like to give a huge thanks to everyone in the tour and the tour crew, and just thanks for putting on the series. Definitely the funnest things around, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that you guys are doing it right with all the promoting and how you guys are running the series. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I would also like to add, I hope to see you guys this weekend at the new tour.
Perfect. Love it, guys. Thanks for your time again. And we'll see you this weekend at the Eagle's Nest, a.k.a. the Wentz Training Facility. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you on the next one. Something that is really, really awesome. It's a lot of fun, and I'm excited to share it with you guys here. This was something that Tegan and I had been kind of kicking around a little bit. We're trying to lock down our media guy for the future. We've had some friends of ours who have been doing most of our edits and everything on the low, and it's just getting to be too much, and we're looking for someone who can commit and devote their time to us. And even if you're just doing it for fun and you want to get involved with us, well, here's your chance. We are going to be giving away $300 per round for the rest of the year to the number one overall video edit from the weekend. We're giving away $200 to the second place overall edit of the weekend. And to third place, we're giving away $100. And that is cold, hard cash going into the videographer's pocket. Again, we're looking for those edits that you see us posting at the end of every round or like the week following every race. You know, once the photo man or the videographer has got enough time to edit, make an awesome clip or, you know, a 3-5 minute long video for us to post to YouTube and share about Temple Off-Road. So it is going to be a little bit of a video edit competition every weekend for the remainder of the season. Again, $300, $200, and $100 paid out respectively, and there will be judges. The judges are to be determined. However, all three videos that are selected as first, second, and third place will be reshared and posted to the official Tour Racing YouTube page and our Instagram. We're going to be teasing out those edits and everything. So again, if I'm not being clear enough, we are looking for people who, well, I guess people meaning videographers. If you're coming out to the races and you are filming and you are putting together these edits, we are looking to pay you cold, hard cash. So do your filming, go home, do all your editing and everything, get in touch with us, tell us that you're doing that beforehand so we know what we're expecting or who's going to be involved. And then as soon as your video is done, submit it for review, and we're going to give you guys some deadlines and all that stuff. Of course, the details are still to be hashed out, but you know, there'll be a deadline to submit your video for the payout and for the winner, if you will. And again, first, second, and third place. It's going to be $300, $200, and $100 for the best video edits from the entire weekend. We're not talking about just helmet cam or any of that stuff. We're talking about, you know, the behind-the-scenes footage that these guys capture, you know, starting line, podiums, finish, in the pits. You know, you see a dog being walked or whatever. If you think it's a great clip, throw it in there and let us be the judge. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to reach out, DM us, message, call, this, that, the third. And on top of that, another idea that Tegan and I had talked about and we're going to move forward with is the end of the year vlog awards. So, you know, I talk about it all the time in the pods. I'm trying to gas up all these vloggers who take the time to, you know, give an insight to what they're doing before the race, during the race, after the race, getting ready, washing the bike, prepping the bike, helmet cam footage of the race itself. You know, that is what the vlog life is about. And we are trying to recognize those guys who are taking the time to do that because it's good for the series. It's good for dirt bikes. And we want to recognize those people. So end of the year vlog awards, we're going to be, you know, determining what we're going to be doing as our little giveaway or our awards for you guys. But there will be a ceremony, you know, our banquet or our mini banquet, whatever we're going to be doing at the end of the year. And if you're a vlogger, chances are you might be going home with some more hardware and maybe even a little payout. So to incentivize and you know, motivate our vloggers, keep them coming. There will be awards coming your way. So again, we're looking for some professional videographers who can put together some edits. We're going to be paying you guys, and it's going to be a little bit of a competition for the rest of the year. And then end of the year, we're going to have our vlog awards. So two separate things that are pretty neat and unique to our series. And we're hoping it's going to stir up a little bit of interest from some of you talented camera folks. So if you got any questions, feel free to reach out. Thank you. All right, everybody. We just wrapped up our interviews there with Ryder Siggety and Landon Wentz. And before I let you all go, we have Mr. Tour himself, Tegan Temple, here on the other line. And Tegan is going to give us the breakdown for the weekend, what to expect, course changes from last year. I know there's a bunch of fresh trail cut in and, you know, parking situation, the pit bikes and all that good stuff. So without further ado, Mr. Tegan Temple, what's up, dog?
Not much. Just got done another long day at the track. Been working pretty hard up there all last week and, you know, more to come this week. We've been fighting the elements up there. It's been, you know, a lot of rain and everything. Real wet, tough to get the machines in and not tear stuff up. But we've been doing a lot of hand cutting. We got a lot of some new stick farms. And those are always fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of not a lot, but there were some people complaining last year about it kind of formed one single line, main line around the whole track. So we did a lot of new sections, and we tried to keep that in mind and try to make it more multi-line, you know, 2 to 3 lines everywhere we could. So I would say it's maybe about 70% new as far as the trail goes. And then, of course, they have the motocross track, and then Kane's been hard at work at the extreme section. He's got, like, a mountain of dirt at the end. It's going to be pretty cool.
So is that going to be different from last year?
It's some of the same, some new stuff. The coolest thing I think is at the end, I don't know how many triaxles of dirt he got brought in, but it's a mountain of dirt at the end and kind of go up, he's got a couple logs, and it's almost like a wave. It like kind of, it's like a berm down onto the moto track. So that's going to be, I think, a crowd favorite for sure, watching all the racers rip that up.
Cool. I can kind of picture that. Last year there was this awesome clip. I forget who the two riders were in our edit. It was they were coming over the mulch pile. So is it going to be like kind of a similar location, but like the mulch pile times 10?
Yeah, and it's dirt, and it's, you know, got a couple logs making your way up to the top.
Dang.
So that's gonna be, it's going to be cool. It's cool for sure.
Sweet. So, and then how about a length? You got a certain length on this one? What kind of time is we looking at, and what's the mileage?
I didn't get a sprint lap in. I think we were at 2.3, I believe, something like that. This one's definitely going to be more open and flowy than last year, I think. Mm. We'll shoot to have a lap time later in the week. So, but I think his conditions are going to be pretty perfect. It's a little wet out there right now, but we don't really have any rain in the forecast as of now. So I'm thinking it's going to shape up to be really good conditions.
And run me through, like, you know, just like last year, you know, like the overall. I mean, I know it's kind of, we're at the same facility. So guys, you know, people often think it's the same facility, the same track. Can you just nip that in the bud? Tell me right now, like, and tell everybody that it is definitely not, or what do you think? Like, is it more similar, or like, just, you know, your honest opinion? I know it's you're a mastermind and you were building it, but like, just give us some honesty here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we definitely, you know, reinvented the wheel with this one, you know, and tried to give as much fresh stuff as possible. I know, you hear it with other series, oh, it's all new, fresh trail, but I mean, it really is this time, you know. I mean, it is a training facility. Dirt bikes do see the trails and stuff, but the track's running the same direction, but okay. We got a lot of new stuff cut in. So,
and now this might be a something that's kind of weighing on everybody's mind that was there last year. What is the Gator Pit looking like this year?
So there's a lot of complaints from the pro riders.
Whiners. We call those whiners.
Whiners. Are supposed to be professional racers, but we do still have the Gator Pit. We took out about maybe a little over half of it.
Okay.
So you'll cross where you did last year.
A fair compromise.
Yep. And then you'll hit a little bit of the field there this time. That way, if you know, watch your buddies in between motos, stuff like that, you can run down and catch them off the start. So that should be another good place for people to get some spectating in. And then you'll bring them back down. Then we'll have our A only section again. We'll drop them in for the last third of the river, something like that, or stream.
Okay. Okay.
So.
So there will be gators and there will be pits.
There will be gators. Yeah.
Yes. Got it. Understood.
It's definitely not as gnarly as last year, but we still got to throw something at them.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. What the heck? This isn't a cakewalk. This is tour, baby.
No.
So. Okay. So aside from the track work and what to expect from the track, can you tell us about Saturday's events?
Yeah, so we got the we changed things up this year. We put a poll out, and it seems like a lot of people want the kids racing on Saturday. So for this event, we threw it at them. It's not going to be. I know a lot of people got excited. They're like, "Oh, is it going to be like this for the rest
whole season?"
Of the rest of the season, but you know, some of these places, like the next one at Back Nine, there's going to be motocross practice on Saturday, so it's tough to do it there.
Right,
you know, Bud Creek looking farther ahead. We have a double header, so it'll be a full race Saturday, and then do it all again Sunday, and then, you know, back to Hurricane, practice again on Saturday. But we are talking about maybe doing the last three when we get back to Jersey, maybe moving the youth and the Pee-wee to Saturday. So we're going to see how that goes.
Okay, yeah. So again, for everybody that was wondering and might not have just caught that, this is only a one-time thing for the time being. The youth races will be on Saturday, and that is a one-time thing. And I don't want to misspeak. Again, Tegan, that is the youth and the peewee, correct?
Yep, the youth and the peewee. It could be something in the future, but the way we, you know, are going to be going to motocross facilities, it's just not in the cards for these places coming up.
Got it. Yep, yeah, understood. So, again, that's for all the moto parents out there listening right now. This weekend and this weekend only – will be the Peewees and the Youths on Saturday. And then in addition to the Peewees and the Youths going on Saturday, what is our special event for Saturday night, Tegan?
We got the pit bike under the lights. So we're going to do start with practice and qualify, and it should run us into the night. We for the guys that weren't there last year, we got the generator lights all lit up. Track's lit up real well. It's a fun track. It's got an over-under in it. It's got, all kinds of fun jumps, and it's a fun flowy track. So that should be a good time. A lot of people had a lot of fun with it last year, decided to do it again this year.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped for that too, because this is just like a great, it's a holiday weekend, so a lot of folks are going to have off on Monday, and if you didn't have weekend plans, what an awesome opportunity to make an entire weekend out of it with your family. Come out on Friday or come out Saturday morning, hang out, show your kids what the Peewees and the youth races is like, and then hang out for Saturday night, see some of the pit bike carnage and some of the gnarly stuff that's going to be going on. It sounds like it's a fun little event, but there are some competitive racers out there for that whole pit bike thing, and it's sick. It's under the lights, just like you'd see, it's like a Supercross Saturday night, it's awesome, and we have such a sick facility too, and from the Wentz and the way that they set everything up and kind of cater to us and our needs for that entire thing. And man, I can't wait. Like I said, it's going to be a great weekend and great long weekend. So again, everybody, we encourage you guys, make a weekend out of it. Even if you're not a racer, or your kid's not a racer and you live close by and you're curious about the whole thing, come on out, man. Make even just a night out of it. You live local, you're close enough, come out on Saturday night and see what this whole thing's about. And I guarantee you, you'll get bit by the tour bug and you'll be back again for some more.
Oh, yeah. I saw a lot of guys coming out of the woodwork with pit bikes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I got a Snapchat today from somebody.
Oh, yeah. Was that Corey?
That was. Yeah, Corey. Oh, yeah, Corey sent me a text. Had to pick up a pitter for the weekend.
Yeah. That's cool. I saw Ryan Quinn. He got his. I got
nice.
He's got his all dialed in, ready to go.
Yeah, that's great, so that's man. Great. Yeah, that's fun for all like the fans, too, who see those guys on Sunday on the pro line. They're going to be like, wait, look, is that who I think it is?
Oh yeah.
That's great.
There's definitely going to be some carnage out there and stuff. I have a couple notes for the pit bike. No two strokes. I think that someone asked me about.
Right. Yeah. Cause they race a 65 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think no two strokes. It is a pit bike race, so we're trying to keep it four stroke. Although we do have the electric bike class.
Right.
That being said, we don't want to see any Stark Vargs out there.
Yeah, it's not a full-size.
It's a pit bike. We want to keep it light and keep it fun.
Now, with that said, can we race our Surons?
Yes, Surons, and I think it was Talaria? Talaria? I'm not sure what they are.
What about our Sir Todds? Can we ride our Sir
Todds? Sir Todds? I don't even know what that is.
I was just trying to make a quick joke there about, Todd, Sir Todd, Todd. Yeah. I don't know. I'm an idiot. Disregard that.
Yeah, one over my head. But I think Lane, he has some type of beta bike.
Oh yeah. I saw that last year.
Yeah, I think he'll be out there racing it.
Okay. Yeah. So again, with that said, too, guys, if you're curious, you have an e-bike. Or you have a pit bike that you want to come out and just shoot us a message at Tour Racing GP on Instagram or Facebook, or send me a message directly at Voice of Tour on Instagram, and we'll answer your guys' questions about all that stuff, the classes, the bikes that are allowed or not allowed, and all that good stuff. So yeah, you don't want to show up thinking you're going to race on Saturday night in the pit bike class and then roll your bike out and we tell you no. So make sure you ask ahead of time. That's all. If you're curious or you don't have a solid answer, just let us know and we'll guide you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was our Saturday go down. I'm sorry. What were you going to say? Don't want to cut you off.
I know you were talking about the camp and come out and make a weekend of it. Yep. I did have another note down here. It is a holiday weekend. I know a lot of people are going to be off on Monday, and feel free to spend the night Sunday and camp with us. I know I'm going to be there.
Me too. I'm excited.
So that should be fun.
Yeah.
And enjoy the holiday.
Yeah. It kind of slows everybody down, from our normal hustle and bustle. Everybody can usually, they can't wait to get out of there after the race is over on Sunday and everybody has to haul home, sometimes a couple of hours. So if you're off on Monday and you can, you know, the wife is giving you the go-ahead or the kids don't have school or whatever, you know, stay the night on Sunday and hang out, you know, meet some more of the tour racers and some of the tour staff. I know I am closing the mulch yard on Monday morning, so I am looking forward to put my feet up and throwing back a couple of cold ones Sunday night with the boys around the fire pit and just, you know, hamming it up and doing some bench racing, talking about the weekend. So that's going to be a good time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool, cool. I'm looking at my notes here. I don't really see anything else. Again, like, you know, as far as pricing and the classes and all that stuff goes, just check out our social medias, check out the website. I'm not going to...
A lot of that's covered on the flyer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to waste too much time going over all that stuff. But like I said, if you have a question, just reach out to one of us on Instagram and we'll answer, or Facebook, or... find the phone numbers on the website, all that good stuff. We have no problem answering your questions. We want to make sure that you guys are, you know, in the know and you understand, and we want everybody to be happy rather than frustrated. So let us know what we can do to help you with.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think that pretty much wraps it up on my end as far as notes I had. I had one more thing. Just park tight.
Get it nice and tight.
Yep. It's a pretty big field. This one's going to be grass, so hopefully it's dry. I know at the second round it was a little tougher, you know, being muddy and trying to get, you know,
right
or close. But
So again, guys, if you're rolling in squad deep or you're trying to save a spot for your buddy in his camper or whatever, that's all fine. But just make sure you're keeping them tight. You know, no, we don't want to see, you know, four car lengths, you know, separating you and one other truck or trailer. Like, we need to do everything we can because this is the premier off-road racing series in the Northeast, and we're talking about turnouts of 1,000+. You know, we're having riders come out 700, 800 deep, and then that means that we're having 3,000 or 4,000 spectators or more, you know, fans and people that are coming along with the racers. So, you know, with that said, just keep that in the back of your head and just try to be courteous and keep in mind that we are planning on having a huge turnout. Huge. It's going to be a huge turnout, and we need everybody to just help us out too.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, don't want to hold you up any longer here, boss man. I know that you have got lots of trail to still be cut. I know you have your headlamp and you're getting ready to get out there and do whatever it is that you do as Mr. Temple Off Road.
nothing that crazy, but we'll be back at it tomorrow morning. Still got a lot to do. Been fighting elements, but hopefully catch up. Got a dry week ahead of us, so should be good for us and good for the racers for racing.
Sick, dude. All right, well, unless you have anything else for me, I'm going to chop this one up and call it a podcast, and we'll see everybody this weekend at the Wentz Training Facility for the Eagle's Nest GP Temple Off-Road Racing. We'll see you then.